Welcome to Series 2 of the Rugby Buzz, a podcast brought to you by H&HB Events. My name is Mark Hartree, and I'll be your host as I chat to rugby stars past and present about matches they were involved in that remain highlights for them. Today, I'm delighted to be able to chat to the former Gloucester and France star, Olivier Ozam. Ollie started his career at Tarbes, then went on to Montferrand before heading to Kingsholm in 2000, where he was part of a successful squad topping the league and winning the Power Gen Cup in 2003. He had a brief sojourn back at France in Clermont before coming back to Gloucester in 2004 for another successful spell, helping win the European Challenge Cup in 2006. Ollie played 193 times for Gloucester, scoring 25 tries, and was a fans' favourite, being voted Player of the Year by the fans during his spell there. He made his French debut in 1995 against Romania, and went on to win 10 caps, winning a Grand Slam in 2002. After retiring in 2011, Ollie went straight into coaching with the star-studded Toulon side, helping them win the Heineken Cup before spells at Lyon, Oyonnax and Stade Francais. Late last year, he joined back up with his pal Philippe Saint-André as forwards coach at Montpellier and has helped them turn results around, climbing the top 14 and reaching the European Challenge Cup final against Leicester Tigers. Good morning, Ollie, and welcome to the Rugby Buzz. How are you doing?
Good morning, Mark. Yeah, everything good here.
Good, good. And is it sunny in France?
Well, actually, today, no. We got a lot of rain, but usually in this part of France, it's quite sunny every day. So,
yeah, just like Gloucester, as you remember it.
Exactly, yeah. Gloucester at his best.
Absolutely, absolutely. Obviously, we find you in Montpellier at the moment. How are things going there?
Things going well. We managed to get quite a few win on the bounce, turn things around. I joined the club just before Christmas.
Yeah,
and we're climbing the table. We are by four places now. We're out of the relegation zone. We're not out of the wood yet because we still have five games to play, so still tricky. But we're also doing well in the Challenge Cup because we play the final in Twickenham in 10 days. So
yeah,
it was a tough season to start with, and I think right now we're looking a lot better, and the player are enjoying it a lot more.
Good, and you mentioned the Challenge Cup final, but you've got quite a nice easy run into that, haven't you? You were saying you're playing Toulon tomorrow, and then La Rochelle on the weekend, and then following week it's the cup final. But that must be great from your perspective, a nice challenging couple of weeks.
Yes, we played in Bath a week ago, managed to qualify for the semi, and then we played Saturday against La Rochelle at home. We beat them, and we played Tuesday night to Toulon at home again. So it's a very important game for us because it's a late game who's been postponed because of the COVID.
Yeah.
And then we go to Stade Francais on Saturday. So it's a lot of game. We have to manage the squad, manage obviously the workload of the player to try to get them ready for the final, which is obviously really important for the club. But also we still have quite a few injuries, so things are tricky at the moment. But we don't complain because we play. And that's what's important, you know, finish the season and obviously save the club and win a title.
Yeah. And as a Gloucester legend, how good was it to beat Bath?
It was really good, especially at the Rec.
Yeah.
You know, it brought back some good memories from my playing days with Gloucester because we did win a few times there. And he obviously was special, especially our forward really did the job on them on the day. So yeah, it was quite pleasing. I won't lie.
Yeah, and you mentioned you've only been at Montpellier since just before Christmas. I mean, it has been, if you look at where the club were and where they are now, it's been a big turnaround. I mean, what's particularly changed from your perspective since you joined the club and got your hands on the forward?
Well, we try to bring a lot of clarity, a lot of precision in what we're doing. Bring a better work ethic, which is quite important in any team, any club. And the last thing also, try to be very close to the player, because I think it's important as a coach to be very close to your player, because if you have the answer and the player don't understand or don't apply it, and are not convinced or confident that they're happy to do what you think is going to work, you're going nowhere. And I think that was a change, you know, the trust between the player and the coaching staff. And that's something for me, I really put a big emphasis on. Well, I have to say, the first time I joined a team or a club mid-season, and it's quite tricky, because obviously you have to build a relationship very quickly, and I'm quite happy with the way it's gone, even if the beginning was really hard.
Yeah. And of course, you get the opportunity to work with Philippe again.
Yeah, it's... obviously, Philippe is someone I know from my playing days and coaching, being my coach at Gloucester. But the person who brought me is Xavier Garbajosa, who was the head coach. He asked me to come and help him. It's something we talked about before in the summer, but with the COVID, me being in Gloucester, living in Gloucester, it wasn't really possible, but he insisted because the result were not going very well. He needed me to come straight away, so I managed to organize myself to be there before Christmas. And fortunately for him, in France it's a tough league. You know, you got that's, I think at the moment it's only rugby or championship where there is two relegation. It's very hard. The game are very tough, and also it's hard for the coaches. You know, your life in a club in France is expectancy is quite short, I'll say.
Yeah.
So he did pay for the bad result, but I'm very grateful he brought me to the club, because the club it's got good ambition, and I think we're going to keep progressing in the future.
And looking forward to the Challenge Cup final again. You know, going back to your Gloucester days, a chance to lock horns with Leicester again at Twickenham, and obviously Twickenham is probably one of your best memories in a Gloucester shirt from 2003 in particular. But how exciting is that to be able to come back to Twickenham for a cup final, taking on Leicester?
It's very good memories, because obviously we did play quite a few finals in Twickenham with Gloucester, you know, over the 10-year spell I was there, and it was basically an habit really at some point.
Yeah,
we didn't win them all. Obviously, we would have loved to win quite a few more, but it's really good memories. And I went back there. I think he was with Toulon as well. Yeah. We managed to beat Saracens. He was for the Heineken Cup semi-final. So yeah, it's always a pleasure. You know, it's a temple of rugby, Twickenham. So my players are really excited. You know, we got quite a few young players in the team. We got some guys who played in Pro D2 last season, you know. So it's a big step for them. It's guys who haven't been international, and it's probably the only time they're going to play there in their career. So, no, it's good, you know. It's good to see player being excited, and they deserve to be there. They worked hard. And for myself, it just reminds me that I was a lucky guy 10, 15 years ago, you know, because when you play, sometimes you take things for granted.
Yeah.
And, well, it's good to be back, especially with some with the public. You know, obviously, it's going to be a lot of Tiger fans.
Yeah.
But to be completely honest, I prefer to play in Twickenham with 10,000 Tiger fans than playing in France with nobody watching us.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, definitely. And what particular challenges will Leicester bring to your side then?
Well, obviously, they're a team who are very strong up front. You know, they got international everywhere. We know their scrum half-back combination is one of the best in Europe. Yeah. So we know what's coming. You know, obviously with two very powerful wingers as well. So for us, it's just a case of mentally be ready for the challenge, mentally for the occasion, because we are a young group, a young team, which gonna have to race for the occasion. Mm-hmm. With what we shown against Bath, you know, how much commitment we had, how much hard work we put in defense. I think we also confident we can challenge Leicester and push them really hard for the final.
Yeah, it should be a great game. And in terms of French rugby generally, of course, the following day you've got an All French Champions Cup final as well. So from kind of England looking into France, and with the way the French national team are going as well, French rugby seems in quite a good place at the moment. Is that how you see it?
Yeah, French rugby is progressing every season, and probably the last two seasons it has progressed more rapidly. Mm-hmm. I think we got a lot of hard work being done in the academy, and these players are now playing regularly in the top 14, thanks to the regulation, you know, put in place. So I think it does improve the championship. I think the fact as well, every game is important, you know. There's no dead rubber in the top 14, and that make it a very competitive games. And also for the players, they used to have to win games, you know, and used to deal with stress, because obviously the hardest game to play is when you fight for relegation. It's not when you're at the top winning things. Mentally, so I think that develop player for every game, and also I think because of that, the coaching staffs are doing a great job. You know, the level in the next 3-4 years of every staff has been improving. So I think the image of France being unfit, badly coached, you know, is totally unfair, and the results are proving it.
Yeah, yeah, and with the World Cup on the horizon as well in 2023, that's going to be some festival of rugby, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it was the best thing that could happen to French rugby to have a World Cup at home, because everybody basically came together. I'm involved in meetings, you know, with other coaches, with the federation, already 3-4 years ago when I was working at Stade Français, and things were put in place for the clubs to support the French team to be at its best for the World Cup. And also, we got a good generation of players who won 2 under-20s title, world title, and I think is that generation is going to have his shot to win a World Cup at home, and that's amazing for French rugby.
Yeah, no, exactly. And the you mentioned the two under 20s World Cup wins, and I suppose in one respect the bravery of the coaches to give these guys their head, as you say, they're playing regularly in top 14, and progressing through to the national side, and the national coaches aren't scared to pick some of the young guys who are, you know, absolutely ripping it up, who've won world titles at under 20 level, and that must feed right through, Ollie.
No, it's a change of politic, you know.
Yeah.
I think and for the best, you know, because rugby is very hard game, it's very demanding, and obviously as you get older, it's the same for every player. I've been there myself. It's hard, you know, on a Monday morning, on a Tuesday morning, to recover and keep working to be fit, to be in the team. So I think the fact is these young players are getting more game time, that they're only going to get better. They're only going to get better. And like I said, it's credit to every staff in the top 14, because we still have to win games to stay up, you know. When you play someone, you don't play him because you want to develop him. You play him because you need to win the game.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's always a difficult one for coaches. And as I say, I think, you know, that bravery to start playing them in the top 14, you know, helps, doesn't it? And then it feeds through into the national side, and that you look 1 to 23 really as far as the national side, and I'm sure there are others outside the squad knocking on the door, but a hugely talented bunch of players there, aren't there? And it augurs well for 2023.
Yeah, it's a lot of talented players, obviously, and Tamac Dupont, you know, they're well reported that they're amazing players, you know, but these guys and other guys, they've started, some of them playing in Pro D2. I think that's important as well, you know. There's a lot of good players playing in second division in France, you know, and they filter through to the top 14 games. So I think, French rugby is, I think, got his act together, and we're starting to get the rewards.
Yeah, and of course that I suppose criticism of French rugby in the past has been about discipline and you know, when things don't go right, the heads drop. That seems to have changed. Is that fair, Ollie? Is that a big change in terms of how the players are reacting?
Yeah, I think it's always been kind of a historical issue for French rugby, and I won't say it's gone away,
no.
But it's something we really work hard on. For example, in our club here in Montpellier, we try to have referees coming to spend the day training with us, you know, as much as we can, just so we can get feedback, we can build relationship and the right way, and knowing, for the player to know the right way to address the player. And I think, for example, for our BAF game, it did help us on that game, because we obviously had an issue with the way the he was refereed, the pick and go, and our defense on it. And I think the player had ammunition during the week, you know, and they had the right vocabulary to speak with the referee to get our point across. And I think that was instrumental in our win, because it was a very important time in the game, I think. And that's something we're working on in our club, and I know other clubs are working hard on that as well.
Yeah, well, it's paying huge dividends for all of the clubs and for French rugby, and that weekend at Twickenham with three French sides there is going to be hopefully a great weekend. So, wishing you all the very best on that one in the cup final. We touched on Gloucester, and you know, one of the things we're going to do today is kind of, you know, look back at your Gloucester career and so on, rather than pick one particular game. But looking from France back to Gloucester, there's a lot of things happening at Gloucester. There's big changes. New coaching group have come in this season. They haven't had the greatest of starts, but you know, huge win for them against Northampton on the weekend as well. What's your kind of view from afar, if you like, on Gloucester?
I'm very busy with my team at the moment. But obviously, my family still live in Gloucestershire. And my son is obviously a supporter of Gloucester, you know. So I do know the result, and I know that they haven't been very good because he's been quite upset.
Yeah, yes.
So I know that's not things are not as they should be yet. But I think it's been tricky, you know, for the club because it's a club who's been quite successful for a number of years. But it cycles, you know, and I think it's been for quite a few years now not going as well, and it's or you break that cycle, you know, or you bring back success, or you get people to believe in the process to get back to the culture. I think for me, for an outside point of view, Gloucester has been trying to play a brand of rugby who doesn't really fit with the value of the club, and that has been, I think, a mistake because you are what you are, and it's better to harness it and better it and build on it than to go against it, because the Gloucester supporters, they like, I think, people who work hard, people who are fair on the pitch, you know, and really, really show passion and emotion. And I think that's great, you know, because a lot of players, they enjoy that. And I think Gloucester obviously deserve, I think, and the fans deserve to have good times again, and he probably will come. We will have to wait and see. You know, rugby is very difficult. I can see here, for example, we were not doing so well, and now we're in a final. So things do turn around. But when you're from outside, I just wish they turn around quick.
Yes, yeah. Well, stop your son giving you all the grief when the results haven't gone that way. Yeah, it's you mentioned cycles there, and that's so important in rugby, isn't it? And you've alluded to already this morning that you know, in French rugby in particular, the owners can be quite impatient, and you know, they hire a coach, then the coach is gone, and something else, you know, something changes. And sometimes people have just got to have faith, haven't they, and just allow that cycle to develop, let that coaching group develop what they want to develop, rather than 12 months in, it's not working, change the coach, new cycle, new change, new players. How important is that from a rugby perspective?
Obviously, having the time to put things in place is key, you know, but you need to be sure it's the right thing as well.
Yeah.
You know, so It's difficult. It's a difficult balance, you know, because things don't always go as planned. And sometimes you have to readjust. But I think for a club like Gloucester, you know, I think they need to really focus on getting academy players through the process, you know, develop them, because Gloucester is not one of the richest clubs in the Premiership. And they just need the time and the hard work to get there. You know, it'll take a bit more time than maybe other teams. When you see the changes in Bristol, for example, who's developing very fast and very well, you know, but they got massive amount of money. It's not just about the squad, you know, or about the salary cap. It's about everything else. And yeah, that does attract players as well, you know. So, and you got other clubs who are well established, like Leicester, who are coming back at it. You got Northampton as well. You know, obviously Saracen's going to go back up next season. They're going to be competitive. So yeah, it's really hard for me to see Gloucester battling at the bottom of the table. You know, that's not somewhere you want to see your favorite club.
Yeah, it's you know, for everyone, you know more than most how supportive and how passionate the Gloucester fans are, and they deserve that level of success. And you touched on the academy players again. Because of the money situation, I guess, you know, they've had to bring some young talent through, and again, that's starting to pay dividends, isn't it? You know, it's a bit brave at the time to be playing these 18, 19, 20 year old lads without the level of experience that, you know, because the Premiership is a tough league as well, but again, the exposure to that, a bit like has happened in France, will hopefully pay dividends, and they can grow with the club as well.
Well, I think at the moment, with no relegation in the Premiership, it's a free shot, really.
Yeah.
And you know, it gives you time to put your system in place, give you time to develop player. You're very comfortable, I guess, as a coach. I wish I had that luxury. To be completely honest, that's what I was saying earlier. Top 14 is a tough league, you know. You got two of the team who are going down, and COVID or no COVID, you know, this is happening. So yeah, I'm a bit envious.
Yeah, envious. Yeah,
envious.
Yeah.
Of all of the staff in the Premiership, because obviously you just got to do a good job and not really being too bothered about your place in the table, you know, for this season, because it's about, you know, developing, surviving financially, and probably next season things going to get back to normal.
Yeah. Yeah, and you mentioned again at Twickenham you're going to have some crowds. How difficult has that been to play without crowds, Ollie? Because you know, it certainly watching it on TV for me, it makes a huge difference not having crowds there, because it just seems a bit, well, it is empty. I know it's empty, but what, you know, what's it like for you guys having to play kind of week in, week out with no crowds?
To be honest, I don't know how the player do it.
No.
Because basically you do your warm-up, there's nobody, but you focus on the warm-up and you go through the drill and you got your own kind of bubble, you know, so you get concentrated in the training room the same, you know, and you obviously get ready mentally, physically for the game. But when they go onto the pitch, well, it's like a non-event, you know. You go out there and it's nobody. You don't get that buzz. You don't get that 10,000-20,000 people cheering and, you know, the goosebump effect, you know. So I don't know how they do it. I'm so glad I'm not playing anymore, because that must be really tricky, you know. to go really hard running into people with, you know, not that outside factor will give you the extra hunger to do it. Obviously, there is a lot at stake, you know.
Yeah.
I guess the player are getting used to it now, but it's not a nice situation. Everybody obviously wants people to be back. I know it's a lot of very tragic situation, you know, outside of rugby, and it's really sad, you know. And I hope it's going to be sorted for everyone, not just for 12 people in the stadium, but on our job point of view, it'd be a lot better for everyone, you know, to meet again with our supporters.
Yeah. I mean, can you imagine going back to your playing days, warming up in front of an empty shed?
Yeah.
And then running out at King's Home without that King's Home roar. You know, that mm-hmm. wonderful tradition, I guess, as you do the lap of the pitch before you go back into the changing rooms and run in front of the shed. Can you just imagine doing that with an empty shed?
I don't know if they're still doing it, you know.
Yeah, I think so.
They do?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, with nobody in the shade. So that must be weird, you know. But I've seen sometimes they play cricket before the warm-up on the pitch. So it's just different, I guess, now. It's a new generation. You know, you have to go with it. You know, you have to, as a coach, you have to find what's right for your players, you know. And every group of players, every club is different. So, you know, I think warming up with nobody and then playing the game, I think is especially at the start, because I guess when the game starts, you know, you kind of focus on your next job, you know.
Yeah.
But to get ready for it, I guess it must be pretty tricky.
Yeah. I mean, let's take you back to 2000. A young, fresh-faced Olivier Azam turns up at King's Home. What was that like for a young Frenchman to be, you know, smack bang in the middle of Gloucester, huge rugby city, as you know? What was the kind of first impressions for Ollie at that stage?
Well, I wanted a new challenge. I was 25. I played already like 6 seasons in, I don't know if it was a top 16 or whatever it was called in France at the time. And I wanted something new. And for me, it was an opportunity to go abroad, learn a new language, you know, discover a different way of living, you know. That was just... for me, a good challenge, but with no expectation, you know, I was coming to discover, you know, discover the rugby, just to challenge myself, because rugby was professional in England and not so much in France. So I was coming just to have a go. Couldn't speak any English or very little. So yeah, it was tricky. It was hard, to be fair. It was really hard, because I used to sit at the table with some of the old Gloucester boys, you know. At the time, we had guys who were born in Gloucester, you know, playing. And that was great. Even if I couldn't understand what they were saying, you know, I'd be on the table, you know, a meal between training, and people will be having a chat and sat there, and they will be laughing. And I don't know, probably be laughing at me. I didn't have a clue. So if I had a doubt, I used to try to sort it out at training after. You know, just to try to get to know each other better.
That's a wonderful phrase, Ollie. That is that's brilliant. Try to get to know each other, but as you say, you're coming into a side with you know, the vast majority of the squad, because it was still relatively new for, you know, in inverted commas, foreign players to come in into that environment. The Gloucester side was, you know, 15 guys born and bred in Gloucester, and I think Philippe was already there, wasn't he? I think
yes, of course.
So it was starting to change, but you had the likes of, I suppose that, you know, the likes of Deeks and yes, so on, who were there.
Rob Fiedler was there.
Yeah,
you know.
Pasty and Glanners, and all of those were there. So they helped you with your English, no doubt.
Yes, that's my English. Well, I'll say I can't really speak the way that they taught me at the time. You know, it'd be a lot of beeping noise.
Yes, absolutely.
So it was good fun. It was great for me. You know, I arrived somewhere where I could see the passion, I could see people loving rugby, I could see it was a city who was behind his team, and I was coming from Montferrand, which is exactly the same. So on that aspect, for me, it was the same, you know. And I enjoyed it. I really loved it straight away.
Yeah.
So, and that's why I stayed for so long.
Yeah. The in terms of that first spell, as you've already alluded to, you know, playoff finals and the Power Gen Cup final as well. What were the highlights of that first spell for you at Gloucester? Because it was a really successful period, wasn't it?
Oh, we had three great years. I only signed for one season. I enjoyed it, and I thought, well, I signed one more season, and we start winning things. And I thought, well, I'm going to stay one more then.
Yes.
Because I wanted always have the ability to go back to France. I didn't want to feel trapped with a contract, you know. No, we were so successful. We had such a good spirit in the team. You know, everybody was pulling in the right direction. Then Nigel Mayville came as a coach with Dean Ryan. I think their coaching was really innovative. They were really inclusive with us, the players, you know, and we were very close. And it was great to work with them, you know, and obviously because we were successful, I wanted to keep going. And it was a shame we didn't win that Premiership final against Wasp, you know. I think at the time we had a massive disadvantage not playing for 2 weeks before it. And we didn't really understand how important it was, because it was the first year where you finish first, you're not champion. Mm. And I think we fell into that trap because we were a better team.
Yeah.
Through the whole season by far. And then I went back to France.
You had a season at Clermont, didn't you?
But my rugby, I enjoyed it. I think that's some of the best year I had playing was this probably 2002, 2003, you know. Back in the French team as well, you know, playing, winning the Six Nations, the Grand Slam with France. And then basically I got asked to go back to France to be picked, which I did. But when I went back, I didn't really enjoy it as much as I thought I would. So when the opportunity came to come back to Gloucester, I took it.
Yeah, and you know, the fans as well. You've touched on the fans and how passionate they are. But again, to have that following, you know, they took you right to their heart, didn't they?
Yeah, it was amazing to have such a close bond with the supporter. You know, being French guy in the southwest of England. You know, I didn't expect that at all. You know, he was awesome. To be fair, for me, he's one of the reasons I've played for so long at Gloucester.
Mm.
Yeah, yeah. He's one of the main reasons.
Yeah, and the second spell a little bit longer than the first spell. Did they tie you down to a longer contract then?
Yes, basically, Tom Walkinshaw, mm-hmm. our chairman, you know, he wanted me to come back, and obviously we had a very good relationship, and the club was keep moving forward, you know, they show me the project for the club with the new stand, the new training facilities, Arbury, you know, everything was moving the right direction. So, obviously with my love for the club and him being really persuasive, Tom, he was, you know. Mm. And I decided to come back and for a longer contract. And then, yeah, it was just for me, it was a case of coming back to win the title we didn't win against Wasp. That was basically why I came back.
Mm.
Because for me, the business wasn't
finished.
Well, unfinished business, like you
say. Yeah, yeah. And that second spell, how different was it? I mean, were there any differences, you know, that you saw in Gloucester having had 12 months out?
It was different because the squad had to be rebuilt.
Yeah.
Because obviously a lot of players left in 2003, 2004. Mm. So the squad had to be rebuilt. So we knew it was going to take a couple of years then. But we were well coached, I thought. We were quite innovative. I really enjoyed it. The work done for the next 3, 4, 5 years with Dean Ryan at the helm, you know, mm-hmm. I thought we were a very good side. We got very close. I think we could have won. We should have won at least a title.
Mm-hmm.
On the day, it didn't happen, but everything was made to achieve that. Everyone was put in place to achieve that. That's the way it is, you know, it's sports. But I think when you look back at it, now 10, 15 years later, that we were very lucky all to be involved there at Gloucester at that time.
Mm.
It was very, very, very good years, and it's quite nice to meet up with some of the staff or some of the squad who was there. We got good memories.
Yeah, and that's what it's all about. And sometimes you don't really realise when you're in the midst of it, do you? When you're in the middle of it, when you're slogging at training every day and going out and playing, you don't realise how special it is until it's not there anymore.
Yes, and us being on the inside, you know, working hard at it every day, it does go too fast, you know.
Yeah.
And also I remember us as a team being very criticized for not winning or finishing top with 18 points and not winning the title, you know.
Yeah.
And the coaches being slated. And I do think a lot of people in Gloucester, we like to be living these seasons again, you know. Even if we didn't maybe finish the job, there were good times.
Yeah, yeah.
Definitely.
And of course, second spell, you won a European Challenge Cup as well.
Yeah, we won the European Challenge Cup. I had a couple of injuries in my second spell with two shoulder injuries, which keep me away from playing. But it was good, you know, to win another title. It was second time for me. I won it before with Clermont, you know. So it was great, especially with that group of players to have a title.
Yeah. And you mentioned the coaching groups and the different coaching groups that you work with. Obviously, after you finished playing, then you moved almost straight away into coaching. How much of those coaches that you worked with have you kind of taken forward into your own coaching, Ollie?
I guess a bit of all of them. Yeah. That's what you do, you know. Obviously, Dean coached me for 7 years, and I worked with him as a Dragons last season, so he's obviously someone important. Philippe as well, because obviously I know him from playing days, and he's someone who's a very good manager, so I take a lot from him on that point. I had the chance to be coached by Bernard Laporte, who is a tremendous coach, and I work with him at Toulon. So yeah, he's a lot of these coaches, Nigel Melville, who pushed me to become a coach, you know. I remember a discussion with him at the players' bars in 2003. I was going back to play in France, and him and Dean, we were just having a beer, you know, and they said to me, "Say, look, you need to get your badges. You need to start working on it because we can see something, you know. We can see you got the abilities." And so when I came back the second spell, I did work at getting my badge in England, because that's where I thought I'll coach, to be honest. Playing there for 10 years, you know. But I got the chance to go and coach Toulon. So I wasn't sure. I wanted to play a bit more, but the opportunity wasn't there at Gloucester, so I went and coached Toulon instead.
And that must have been, you know, with the Toulon side of kind of that era, all the big names as a first coaching job, that must have been quite an experience.
Well, I did coach at Gloucester a bit when I was playing. When Dean was there, he asked me to look after the scrum and the driving modes. So I was coaching on the pitch, you know, but not as such with like a computer and planning session and all this kind of thing, just on technical issues. So I was already doing that, you know. So it's only the last two seasons I did stop coaching completely when I was playing, because I wanted to concentrate on enjoying my rugby.
Yeah.
And I didn't feel I was still good enough to say to people what they should do on a Tuesday and then play very well on a Saturday. And, you know, so I just wanted to be a rugby player for 2 years and enjoy it. But yes, going straight into coaching as your first job, you know, full time in Toulon was a massive opportunity. Mm-hmm. But I was prepared. I wasn't really phased about it, you know. For me, I started there, you know. Mm-hmm. A crazy club with great player, a president who was completely mad, you know, who wanted to win straight away.
Yeah.
You know? So I signed one season there, and I thought, well, I'm going to have a go. My first meeting with him, I said, look, I'm coming because I want to win something as a coach. So he liked that because obviously he gave me the job.
Yeah, yeah. I was going to say, is he as mad as it's made out from afar?
Yeah,
very eccentric. Yeah.
Yes, he is, but I guess there is a plan in his madness because he did achieve great things for too long, you know.
He did, yeah.
He did brilliantly, you know, and with not putting so much money of his own pocket. So I guess he's a very good businessman and who really good at using the media and all of the buzz, you know, to create something at Toulon. And no, I'll be always grateful to him, you know. He's the one who gave me my first coaching job, and he gave me the opportunity, and I did one more season and we managed to win the Heineken Cup in the second season. So that was that was awesome.
Yeah, and you say great memories, and stood you in good stead for the rest of your coaching career. Looking back at Gloucester, is there any kind of, I suppose, one story or that kind of encapsulates Gloucester for you?
It's so many stories over 10 years, you know. They can't all be in the podcast, you know. But for me, we, you know, going on tour with the guys, or you know, or these things, you know, living with a group, you know, going abroad or things like that, you know, that's great memories. My first game for Gloucester, we played in Saracens. And I was a roomie with Ed Pierce.
Okay.
You know, it was a big, massive second row. And I didn't know him, you know, I couldn't really speak. And Ed was there in the room, not really talking. And we couldn't really talk to each other anyway. And but I saw him at some point. He got a syringe.
Yeah.
You know, and he inject himself in the bedroom, and I thought, well, sure, the English they take drugs, you know, that's why they're so strong, that's why they're so big, that's why they run quicker and faster and longer than us. Yes, nah, you know, I was like, that's what he's doing. So he did it once. I said nothing, you know. And I thought, he's cheating, you know. And then we go for food, we come back, and the next morning he does the same again, you know. He injects himself again. So I'm like, oh, what's going on here? So I thought, I need to ask him. So I ask him, and bless him, Ed is diabetic, you know,
yes.
type 2. So he explained to me, showed me everything, and since then we like best mate, and he was my best man at my wedding, you know, and I thought it was incredible for someone with such a disease to play at such high level, you know. I was really ashamed of what I thought in the first place. He was just a very strong guy.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, didn't need that. But you can imagine, can't you? If you look at that scene, you see that happening. Your English isn't great at that stage, and it's all a bit of a shock, isn't it?
I'm like, he's not even hiding. He doesn't even care. You know, I'm like, wow, they must all do it. But no, that's so how close I've been to someone cheating.
Ollie, it's been absolutely fab chatting to you as always. Always enjoy chewing the. Chewing the fat with you and some of the things that are going on. I guess the last question, you know, would you ever love to come back to Gloucester at some point?
Yeah, of course. You know, when you play for a club for 10 years, it's in you, you know, it's my club. You know, I only played really for Tarb, which is my club where I'm born and where I played all of my younger years. Then I played for Clermont-Ferrand and Gloucester. So for me, Gloucester is very important. Obviously, my family is from there. They're still living there at the moment. And yes, you know, and I'm sure when the time is right, probably things, when the planet align, you know, it may happen, but yeah, it's something I think could happen, but I wish Gloucester anyway the best, you know. With me involved or not, all I want is the club to do well.
Brilliant. Brilliant. Ollie, it's, as I said earlier, wishing you huge good luck the week or so's time when you take on Leicester. I think everybody in, as strange as it is in rugby, I think everybody in Gloucester will be rooting for Montpellier that day. So you'll have lots of supporters in this part of the world, and good luck with what you're continuing to do there. And let's hope, fingers crossed, we do see Olivier Azam back at King's Home in some capacity at some point, as you say, when the planets align. That's a good thing to look forward to. Ollie, as always, you've been an absolute star. Pleasure to talk to you, and all the very best, and we'll see you soon.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Mark, and I hope to see you soon.
Yeah, take care. Yeah,
take care.
Thanks for listening to the new series of the Rugby Buzz. We do hope you're enjoying these podcasts. If you are, then why not tell 5 of your rugby mates to listen to and spread the word? We'd really appreciate it if you'd leave us a review and subscribe to the podcast so you never miss an episode. Don't forget, all the episodes from Series 1 and 2 are still available to catch wherever you normally listen. If you love sporting memorabilia, then take a look at our online shop where you'll find a huge range of signed prints, balls and shirts to buy. Lots of new items added in the last few weeks, and you can find it on our website, www.hnhb.buzz. We'll be back with you next time for another episode, but in the meantime, be safe.